Hey, Smutters.
Hey.
We sound pitiful.
Today has been a pitiful day.
Today has been a trash day. It's just been garbage.
And I've been sick all week, and I'm still sick tonight, but my voice may crack. You may not hear me at all. I don't know yet.
It's a surprise. Well, let me tell you guys about my morning.
Your morning was god-awful. I actually felt sorry for you.
See, that's how you know it was bad. So as y'all know, I get up around 4 in the morning to get ready and go to work. And this morning, I got up and I was feeling okay. Like, I was still tired, obviously, but I felt okay. So I get ready, do my thing, go to put my shoes on. I'm going to walk down our wooden stairs. And I fall down them.
Like, not slip. She falls.
Onto a concrete floor.
And the house shook.
I heard our bedroom door open and Troy run so fast. I felt so bad that I woke him up.
I actually wasn't asleep.
Oh, that's right.
But it would have woke me up.
Yeah, so after, like, you know, he's trying to convince me I should just stay home. We don't know if anything's broken or not. Just cause everything's hurting, still hurting right now. But I finally kind of told him it was okay. And he came back downstairs to lay down. And I was going to finish getting ready. I start choking out of nowhere. I could not breathe. I was in the bathroom, like, holding my throat. I was like, it was so bad.
Excuse me, guys. I'm sorry. I'm really sick, so you may be hearing a lot of that.
So after I choke, I'm like, okay, I've got to go. I got to get out of here. I'm already running kind of late, so I get out to my car.
You text me to bring you something.
Oh, yeah, I forgot my keys, and you had to bring me my keys. My tire's flat, y'all. What is this? How does this happen to somebody? So, my tire's flat.
You come back in, remember, through the garage, and then you leave your keys again.
Yes, I left my keys again, but I didn't even tell you. Like, I got to the gas station to put air in my tire and stuff, and I get done and start my car and gonna speed off to work. Hopefully I won't be late. I still didn't, like, the machine lied to me. I didn't have enough air in my tire.
And guys,
so I
keep
had to
in mind
get back
too,
out.
I didn't send her to the gas station to get air. I have a commercial air compressor with 100-foot-long cord. I could have cut it on, went down there, and put air in her tire for her. But she's like, no, it's too early. It's too loud.
It is, because it was like 4 something in the morning, and that thing's like, it's so loud. So anyway, I made it to work. I was super late, and when I walk in, I see one of my work friends, and she's like, man, you look like shit. And I was like, well.
I'm surprised I haven't got you sick.
I'm very surprised about that, too. But I also have some cool news, too, though.
Good.
I've already told you about it. You didn't think it was very cool.
Well, because most of your stuff's not.
Well, here's the thing, y'all. Troy and I have been watching Dance Moms. And it's not a show that we would normally watch, right? Like, our little girl came in and was like, can I watch Dance Moms in here? And I was like, you know, if you have to. So she started watching it, and I got hooked to it. Well, now Troy has nothing else to watch because he has to watch Dance Moms all the time now. So,
yeah, it's been constant.
He's like kind of into it now. He's like, oh, you know, this is what happened.
No, I'm into it because I didn't realize how long ago this aired. So I'm looking up all the people now on what they're doing and how they're doing and if they got famous or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you right now. There's no way in hell my daughter would ever be subject to that.
I love that show so much. But anyway, so I've been telling everybody at work to watch it, and a friend of mine, she was like, oh, you're talking about Dance Moms. She's like, I met all of them. And I was like, what? Like, I was freaking excited. And she was like, yeah, I used to dance, and I was in a dance competition against that team. And I was like, y'all, you could probably see the stars in my eyes. I was like, tell me more. And this girl whips her phone out and has pictures of her with like the dancers and the teacher from it. And I'm just like starstruck. So then her boss kind of got onto her, and I was like, do not talk to her that way. I was like, she is a superstar. But I'm just like, I'm starstruck. I'm like, wow. And she's like, I may be in one of the episodes, but it's not like a part or anything. It's like briefly, you know. And I'm just like, you're in Dance Moms. And like, I was so excited. So maybe since I had such a good day meeting somebody from Dance, or not meeting, but knowing somebody from Dance Moms, the universe had to come back and be like, well, you had one, so we're going to make this next day be totally awful. You know? Mm-hmm. You're not listening. But
Oh, I just saw this on Facebook. Okay, I don't know how... I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
I'm done.
I saw this earlier on Facebook, so I wanted to say something about it, but I just saw it again. This is... You guys have got to check this out. And I don't know how many people around the country might possibly hear us, but just a word of advice. If you ever see Nate Diaz out anywhere, don't pick a fight with him. He is a badass MMA fighter.
Oh.
This dude and him got into a fight. He literally did what I've always told you that I would do.
Punch him in the throat.
No.
What?
He grabbed the dude and choked him out and just walked off. Like Shut a up. Badass.
That's
It's right here. You want
to... I mean...
I'll send it to you.
Just like send it to me. Okay.
But anyways, it's badass. Guys, don't pick a fight with an MMA fighter.
That's like my favorite thing, though. When you see somebody talking so much shit and trying to get a rise out of somebody, and they do like one swift move and they're down for the count. You know, I love that. Don't pick fights with people, and then you won't get your ass kicked. Speaking of picking fights with people, that's a good segue into the story tonight. We are doing a cryptid tonight. It's been a little while since we've had a cryptid. So, do you know which one we're doing?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. We are doing...
My dragons.
My dragons. No, we're doing the Wendigo.
Oh, like in Hannibal.
Yes.
That has the horns and stuff.
Kind of. It actually, the reason I wanted to do the Wendigo was because of the show Hannibal, because we just got done watching it.
Such a good show.
And one of the big parts is a Wendigo. And I told you on one of the shows a while back that a Wendigo stands for cannibalism. I just had to squirt the dog with water real quick. He wasn't behaving. But yes, he has to do with cannibalism. And I did tell Troy, when I get my puppy, his name's going to be Hannibal. So y'all remember that. Anyway, let's dive on in. And you mentioned the creature that has the horns. And that is actually not a thing. The Wendigo is in the Native American culture. That's where the story originated from. And we'll go over it, y'all. But it was more the entertainment industry that added the horns, or the antlers, I guess I should say. And that started in 1910 when, you know, stuff like that was going on. So just when you see a lot of the pictures of the Wendigo, because I'll end up posting pictures of the Wendigo tonight on Instagram, and I'm more than likely it'll have horns, but that is just a American entertainment thing that started it. The Native American culture never had that. So let's dive on into the Wendigo. All right.
And guys, again, I apologize for sounding like Bill Clinton and coughing and not really going to be involved as much tonight. I know I normally carry the show, but I'm down and out.
Your back's hurting too from that too.
I know.
Yeah, and y'all, we both just feel bad tonight. So show us some love and give us 5-star reviews. Okay, as I said, tonight we're talking about a cryptid that to me is one of the most terrifying. The reason being, it started out as a human. Our story starts with the original Algonquin myth of the Wendigo. The storm lasted so long that the family thought they would starve. But as the wind and snow started to die down, the father, who was one of the bravest warriors, started outside. He could see the next storm was coming soon, and he didn't have a lot of time. But if the warrior didn't find food for his family, they would starve. He had his knife and his spear. He went to the most used game trail, looking for some kind of sign in the newly fallen snow of movement or some kind of animal footprints. The forest was so quiet under the ice and snow. I'm going to stop right there. You know, every time it snows, how it kind of like muffles everything.
Oh, yeah, super quiet.
And it's eerily quiet in the snow. All the creatures were taking their winter's nap, snuggled in their burrows. But still, the warrior had to find something. His family was desperate. He kept moving, only hearing the wind, until he heard a strange hissing noise. It came from everywhere and nowhere at once. He stopped. He could feel his heart pounding. And then he saw them. Blood-soaked footprints right in front of him in the white snow. He grabbed his knife. He knew somewhere close the Wendigo was watching his every move. He remembered his father telling him the stories when he was little, sitting on his knee. The Wendigo was a large creature, as tall as the trees. It has a lipless mouth with big, sharp, jagged teeth. Its breath was a hiss, and its footprints were full of blood. It had a taste for any man, woman, or child who wandered in its territory. The ones that were eaten, well, they were the lucky ones. Sometimes the Wendigo would possess a person, dooming that individual to become a Wendigo himself, hunting down those they once loved and feasting on their flesh. The warrior knew he had one chance to kill the Wendigo. After that, he would die, or something much worse. He slowly backed away from the footprints, but he couldn't decide where the hiss was coming from. And then it happened. The snowbank erupted, and a creature as tall as a tree jumped out at him. The warrior dove and rolled to cover his clothes in the snow so he was covered and hard to see. The Wendigo turned, and the warrior threw his spear. It hit the creature in the chest, but the Wendigo shook it off like it was nothing. The warrior hid, and the creature searched. The warrior may have one more chance. The Wendigo found his hiding spot and bent down, his long arms reaching out. The warrior jumped forward almost in an embrace with the monster. He stabbed the Wendigo in his big black eye in the brain cavity. The creature howled in pain as the warrior continued to stab him over and over and over again. The Wendigo fell, almost crushing the warrior. He pulled loose as he watched the creature. The outline of the creature began to turn to mist, and it disappeared, leaving nothing but a pool of blood to show where it had fallen. The warrior was shook and weakened from his lack of food, so he turned around and started home. He knew it was about to storm, and he would die if he couldn't get to shelter. At the edge of the woods, he came face to face with a fat, old, red fox. It stood still, kind of like a reward for killing the Wendigo. The warrior said a prayer of thanksgiving and killed the fox and took it home to his family. The meat lasted until the storms passed and the warrior could safely hunt once more. And that's one of the legends of the Wendigo.
Cool.
Yes. And there is another one. I'll go over it. But it is said the Wendigo itself was once a lost hunter.
Sorry.
During an extremely cold winter, the hunter's hunger drove him to cannibalism. After eating human flesh, he transformed into a crazy man-beast, roaming the forest for more people to eat. People that have claimed to see the creature say it looks kind of like Bigfoot, but others say it looks kind of like a werewolf, too. The Algonquin tribes believe many unsolved disappearances are caused by the Wendigo. But lucky for some people, the creature seems to prefer cold weather. Most sightings are reported in Canada as well as colder northern states in the U.S., like Minnesota. The Wendigo is an insatiable predator. He is said to be around 15 feet tall with an emaciated body. He is never satisfied with his cannibalistic urges. He will always be on the hunt for new victims and will always and forever be hungry for the next human. So basically what that's saying is, once you are a Wendigo, you're always hungry.
I'm always hungry. Am I a Wendigo?
Right, like same. But you're always hungry for human flesh. And basically the Wendigo just walks around looking for that next fix, kind of. He's a human addict, pretty much. Yes. He's like Cocaine Bear.
So sorry, guys.
Author Basil H. Johnston described the Wendigo in his masterwork, The Manitos. Quote, "The Wendigo was gaunt to the point of emaciation. If desiccated skin, its desiccated skin pulled tightly over its bones, with its bones pushing out over its skin. Its complexion, the ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed back deep into the sockets. The Wendigo looked like a gaunt skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloodied, unclean and suffering from separations of the flesh. The Wendigo gave off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption." So that's pretty freaking gross.
Of course.
You know? The Wendigo has large, sharp claws and massive eyes like an owl. Now, this is something you definitely do not want to run into in the woods. There are many different versions of the legend, and some say he is unusually fast and can walk for long periods of time, even in the extreme cold. Others say he walks like he's fallen apart. Another one of the Wendigo, one of his creepy traits is the ability to mimic human voices. He uses it to lure away his prey in the depths of the forest and then attacks and eats them. Some say the Wendigo is an evil spirit that devours mankind and believes the Wendigo has the power to curse humans by possessing them. Once he's in their minds, he can turn them into a Wendigo, making them crave human flesh for forever. Now, I'm going to read you guys a true story that has to do with the Wendigo. And this is actually a true story. I'm going to post this man's picture on Instagram so you can get a good look at him. So, to many of the Algonquin tribe, the Wendigo was very real and also had a bad habit of possessing unsuspecting people and turning them into cannibals. I know I keep repeating that, but I want y'all to please remember that one of his things is possessing people. Unfortunately, during the 1800s, several Algonquin natives actually did feast on their fellow humans as a result of a mental disorder modern-day psychologists call Wendigo psychosis. And that's a real thing. Are you listening?
I am.
Okay. And perhaps the most, you know, never mind. I'm stupid. Okay. The most infamous, Okay. The most infamous victim of this horrifying condition was a Cree by the name of Swift Runner. Born in Alberta as Kaki C. Kuchin, Swift Runner.
Say that again real fast.
I can't because I'm scared I got it wrong the first time, and that's awful. Swift Runner was a popular man in the Cree community and the father of six children. At over 6 feet tall, he was a giant man and made his living as a trapper and a guide for the Northwest Mounty Police. But over time, Swift Runner developed a taste for whiskey, probably because he lost his ability to hunt and take care of his family, and fell into the throes of alcoholism. Making things worse, Swift Runner was an angry drunk, and his drinking habits got him into trouble. First, he was fired from the police force, and then he was kicked out of his tribe thanks to his violent tendencies. Then, in the winter of 1878, Swift Runner took his family, his wife, six children, his mother-in-law, and brother, out into the forest. Several months later, as spring rolled around, Swift Runner staggered out of the woods and into a nearby Catholic mission. When the priest asked what was wrong, Swift Runner said his entire family was dead. During the winter, he hadn't been able to find any food. Slowly but surely, all his relatives starved to death. But the priests were somewhat suspicious. Swift Runner looked pretty healthy. Why hadn't he succumbed to starvation? Plus, they knew quite a few of the other Cree who'd had a pretty successful winter hunting-wise. The priests were also disturbed by Swift Runner's constant nightmares. The man would wake up in the night screaming at the top of his lungs. The last straw was when Swift Runner tried to lead a group of children out into the woods. Convinced he'd killed his family, the priest went to the authorities. The police put Swift Runner under arrest and ordered the big man to lead them to his winter campsite. Now, sources disagree on what exactly happened next. Some say Swift Runner immediately took them to the spot. Others say he intentionally tried to mislead them, only cooperating after he was made drunk. Either way, when the group eventually stumbled upon the campsite, they found a truly horrifying scene.
Ruh-roh.
There were bones everywhere, some broken in half and hollowed out. That could only mean one thing. Someone had snapped the bones open and sucked out the marrow. Their suspicions were confirmed when they found a pot full of human fat. That's when Swift Runner pulled the Wendigo defense. According to Swift Runner, he'd been possessed by an evil spirit. That's when he'd murdered and eaten his entire family. But as you might expect, it didn't fly with authorities. When Swift Runner went to trial in 1879, the jury didn't buy his supernatural tale, and after 20 minutes of deliberation, they sentenced the Cree to death. Swift Runner was eventually executed on December 20th, 1879. In fact, he was the first man legally hanged in Alberta, Canada, before his death. The big man converted to Catholicism, and moments before the trapdoor dropped, he gave a speech admitting his guilt. Quite a few people came to watch Swift Runner meet his maker, including one spectator who claimed it was the 29th hanging he'd witnessed. He was thoroughly impressed with the show. As this executioner connoisseur later put it, it was the prettiest hanging I've ever seen. And that's the story of Swift Runner. Now, it's kind of like, I mean, the whole story's disturbing, right? But the fact that he was having nightmares and kept waking up screaming as loud as he could, and he got caught leading a group of children into the woods where the Wendigo lives. That's, you know, that's just,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something to think about, because, as I said, y'all, Wendigo psychosis is a thing. It is an actual thing that people claim to get.
That's why they kept seeing, in Hannibal, seeing him as the Wendigo or whatever.
Yeah, you're 100% right. You are right. What's scary is that there are many other stories that are extremely similar to Swift Runner's, stretching to the northern Quebec to the Rockies. So there's been a lot of stories like that. The legend of the Wendigo has long been associated with real life. Problems like insatiable greed, selfishness, and violence. Basically, the word Wendigo can also function as a symbol for gluttony. So the idea of turning Wendigo is a real possibility and refers to self-destruction. The majority of sightings happen between the 1800s and the 1920s, but in 2019, mysterious howls in the Canadian wilderness made people question if it was the creature. One hiker said, "I've seen many different animals in the wild, but nothing like this." And y'all, you can find this video on YouTube. I actually wanted to play this video for you. And while I was, it took me forever to find it. And when I finally did, I was so excited. I was getting it ready. And like, you can hear it when you're watching it, but I don't
you
think.
Can't, a recording from a recording, you can't.
Oh.
Right.
Well, we've done it before, but like, the sound was so low, I don't think it would pick up on that, is what I'm saying. Plus, they had a kid in the video, and he was... he was going a little crazy. So, that was going on. But you can actually find it. But here's the thing. My thoughts are, when you look up Wendigo, you see a lot of Wendigo and Skinwalker come up side by side. And the Skinwalkers are said to be able to mimic humans also.
Oh, really?
Yes. To lure their prey and all that. So I'm wondering if it's in the same family or if it could very well be the same thing, because the Skinwalker is a Native American legend too. So I don't remember which tribe it was, so I'm wondering if it could be kind of like the Wendigo is to the Algonquin, that the Skinwalker is kind of the same thing. Well, that one shift shapes. What is my problem? I'm sorry, y'all. Shift shapes, there we go. So no, it's not the same thing. Maybe they're just cousins or something. But, yeah, they can both mimic, human sounds. Now, I was trying to find some experiences, and the experiences are all on YouTube. So, I'm going to do you one better.
All
right. We're going to... Do you remember that book, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Yeah.
I used to love those books when we were in school. Like, I loved them, and I think Ashlyn has a book too. Well, there's a story called The Wendigo in that book.
Is it really?
Yes. Cool. And I'm going to read you the story of The Wendigo, and it is from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark Wiki.
Wiki.
Okay. Let's see. A wealthy man wanted to go hunting in a part of northern Canada where few people had ever hunted. He traveled to a trading post and tried to find a guide to take him, but no one would. It was too dangerous, they said. Finally, he found an Indian who needed money badly, and he agreed to take him. The Indian's name was Defago. They made camp in the snow near a large frozen lake, and for 3 days they hunted, but they had nothing to show for it. The third night, a windstorm came up. They lay in their tent, listening to the wind howling and the trees whipping back and forth. To see the storm was better. The hunter opened the tent flap. What he saw startled him. There wasn't a breath of air stirring, and the trees, well, they were standing perfectly still. Yet he could hear the wind howling, and the more he listened, the more it sounded as if it were calling Defago's name. Defago, it called. Defago. I must be losing my mind, the hunter thought. But Defago had gotten out of his sleeping bag. He was huddled in the corner of the tent, and his head was buried in his arms. What's all this about? The hunter asked. It's nothing, Defago said. But the wind continued to call him, and Defago became more tense and more restless. Defago. Defago. Suddenly, he jumped to his feet and he began to run from the tent. But the hunter grabbed him and wrestled him to the ground. You can't leave me out here, the hunter shouted. Then the wind called again, and Defago broke loose and ran into the darkness. The hunter could hear him screaming as he went. Again and again he cried, "Oh, my fiery feet, my burning feet of fire." Then his voice faded away and the wind died down. At daybreak, the hunter followed Defago's tracks in the snow. They went through the woods, down toward the lake, then out onto the ice. But soon, he noticed something strange. The steps Defago had taken got longer and longer. They were so long, no human being could have taken them. It was as if something had helped him to hurry away. The hunter followed the tracks out to the middle of the lake, but there they disappeared. At first, he thought that Defago had fallen through the ice, but there wasn't a hole. Then he thought that something had pulled him off the ice into the sky, but that didn't make sense. As he stood wondering what had happened, the wind picked up again, and soon it was howling as it had the night before. Then he heard Defago's voice. It was coming from up above. And again he heard Defago screaming, "My fiery feet! My burning feet!" But there was nothing to be seen. Now, the hunter wanted to leave that place as fast as he could. He went back to camp and packed, and then he left some food for Defago, and he started out. Weeks later, he reached civilization. The following year, he went back to hunt in that area again. He went to the same trading post to look for a guide. The people there could not explain what had happened to Defago that night, but they had not seen him since then either. Maybe it was the Wendigo, one of them said, and he laughed. It's supposed to come with the wind. It drags you along at great speed until your feet are burned away, and more of you than that. Then it carries you into the sky and it drops you. It's just a crazy story, but that's what some of the Indians say. A few days later, the hunter was at the trading post again. An Indian came in and sat by the fire. He had a blanket wrapped around him, and he wore his hat so you couldn't see his face. But the hunter thought there was something really familiar about him. He walked over and asked, "Are you Defago?" The Indian didn't answer. "Do you know anything about him?" No answer. He started to wonder if something was wrong and if the man needed help, but he couldn't see his face. "Are you all right?" he asked. No answer. To get a look at him, he lifted the Indian's hat, and then he screamed. There was nothing under the hat but a pile of ashes. So, it was Defago.
Wow.
I always love those books. They're so great. But I always get so excited because at school, like, my history teacher, she was so great. After, if we got done with our work early or whatever, she'd always read to us from those, and I would get so excited. I loved them. But, the Wendigo is on, it's gotten really popular with, I guess, pop culture. It's in Charmed, it's in Supernatural, it's in Hannibal, as we said, and basically Hannibal is all about the Wendigo. So, after knowing the story, you'll kind of understand that, because when we first watched it, I didn't know much about the Wendigo. Like, I knew what it looked like, but I didn't know what it did, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I didn't understand why they...
Well, you knew what it looked like because of the Funko.
Well, I knew before then. But, I just didn't understand why they just had a Wendigo walking around in Hannibal. You know, like, it did not make sense. So then I started researching, and that was the reason why, because Hannibal was a big cannibal, Hannibal the Cannibal. And, you know, when other people would look at him, sometimes it would show him as a Wendigo. And it just made so much more sense when I found out what the Wendigo stood for. And I thought that was really cool that they put that meaning behind it. And they really did their homework on that show. So, you guys, if you do get a chance to watch Hannibal, please watch it. It is so good. It's... How do you explain? Because it's from Silence of the Lambs, right? And is this,
oh, I guess.
It's kind of like the whole story of what happened before Silence of the Lambs and all this, but it's in modern time, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's a prequel.
But it's such a wonderful show. And would you, if we were stranded somewhere with a group?
No.
And
wouldn't happen. I don't go with groups.
Well, I'm saying, like,
it's dangerous.
Well, listen.
I'm listening.
So
I've already disagreed.
If you were in a survival thing and you were in a group and there was no food and there was no way to leave, or you were lost or stranded or whatever,
I would eat you.
Would you eat? Not me, but would you eat somebody?
I don't know. I guess.
I absolutely would. Cut off a little chunky leg or something and... You know.
Or a kidney.
A kidney with some fava beans.
Wow.
And a nice bottle of Chianti.
You didn't do that.
I did do that. Yeah. I think I would. But it would, like, I couldn't, like, walk and dead it, like, where you just take a bite out of them. It would have to be cooked, I think. Well, no. I definitely know. It would have to be cooked. And there couldn't be, like, skin or hair on it or anything. Basically, the way Hannibal cooks his victims, how it's real fancy and stuff, that's how it would have to be.
And you're going to do that in a survival situation?
Well, there better not be skin or hair on it. That's gross. But we are talking about eating a person. So, but yeah, I would definitely, I'd pick somebody that nobody liked though. The person that, if there was like a murderer or something, I would pick them. But I don't know of any situation that I would be in survival mode where I'd be hanging out with a murderer, you know, so. Wow. I'm just trying to get you talking.
I don't feel good.
But, yeah, so let us know, y'all. Would y'all eat somebody if you had to? Life or death situation. If it meant you got to stay alive, Troy's making this face. If it meant that you got to stay alive and live a long, happy life, but you had to eat somebody, would you do it?
Is that person going to die anyways? I think that makes a big difference.
Does it? I'm just kidding. More than likely, because y'all are dying of starvation. And which my thing is, if you can at least make a fire, cut a few fingers off and burn them, you know,
down. There's not any meat on a finger.
It's like a chicken wing. Or some toes. Little kebabs.
I'm going to bed.
But like you could do a leg and then what's it called when you get fire and burn it where you won't continue bleeding, you know?
Cauterize.
Where you can cauterize the wound. You could do that and then when you get back you could have a cool ass metal leg. Anakin Skywalker. Boom. Except his was a hand, so if
he had legs too.
Well, he had legs, but you know what I mean.
Metal legs.
Well, that was after the fact.
You just no.
Yeah, this was Anakin had his hand cut off.
Oh God.
Anyway, y'all, we're not getting into this right now because. I truly think this is going to be one of the worst episodes we've ever done. I'm sorry, Wendigo. We'll do you better another time. But, guys, thank you for hanging out with us.
I doubt they did.
They're gone. They left.
It's just us.
They left. Thank you for tuning in. And you guys layer up, drink lots of water, and make good choices, and don't eat people. That's a no-no. You got anything you need to say?
No. Good night.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.